Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit.
What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the Fatherhood is Lit community. Y'all know I'm all about dads making their presence felt without excuses. And today I wanted to chat with someone about embracing the role of dad and have author of Embrace Fatherhood, Tony Snow, here with us to drop some gems. What's good, Tony?
Man, what's good, man? Thank you for having me, man, on this platform, man. I'm glad to see that I'm not the only father that feels the same way. So thanks for having me, man.
For sure. Thank you for being here, man. You know, I did an interview with a guy named Clinton Sparks, man, and he told me that we need to thank dads that are out there making an impact that aren't out there trying to get fame. The dads that are out there really putting in work. And you're putting in work, bro. So thank you. Thank you for putting in work with your kids, but also putting in work on your book, bro. I know people going to need this book. So thank you.
Man, it's a blessing to be a blessing, first and foremost, right? And like you guys said, other fathers being frontline, showing other fathers by example helps them, right? I think a lot of times we don't have that answer or we don't know how to kind of maneuver with tough situations. So just the fact that, you know, someone says, man, because you are a father, I can be a better father, that's a win-win situation in my eyes, man. So it's a blessing, man.
So let's get busy, man. We're going to talk about trauma and all of that. So, you know, the first question I have for you, man, you know, I just like you, man, I like to keep it real. So let's start it right, bro. Let's talk about trauma and how it relates to our lives before we become a dad. You were raised by a single mother of six, bro. Six. How did not having a pops around all the time influence how you dad now, bro?
I mean, first of all, you got to remember, man, you got six kids in the house.
You got a basketball team, bro. That sounds like my household.
Man. You know what I mean? So growing up as with a single mom, man, you know, first and foremost, you know, y'all always fight. You know, sibling wars are real. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are going to always fight about something. You know what I mean? Like, it's days where I used to wake up, man, like, you know, you want to eat cereal, but it's already gone. You know, yeah. Your mom buys a box of snack pies and they gone too. You get home from basketball practice and somebody ate half your Salisbury steak. So, you know, it's real. You know what I'm saying? And also, when you don't have a male presence there, man, like, you guys are really trying to figure it out on your own. You know, mom's at work, mom gets a little rules, and now you guys are there to figure it out. You know what I mean? So, you know, growing up without my pops around, man, we really didn't have much structure besides the rules that my mom gave us, man. And, you know, my mom had three boys and three girls, so, you know, we right there in the middle of the neighborhood, in the house, you know, just trying to figure out life, man, watching MTV. I remember one time, I think, you remember the jukebox?
Of course.
Man, I think I must have racked up a nice little bill, man. I paid the price for it, too, man. But, you know, just stuff like that, man. You know, waking up, going, watching MTV, you know, music videos. But also, man, like, because of, you know, you don't have a father present, mom's at work, I just remember, like, having to get my siblings ready for school and trying to get to school on time to make sure I got some breakfast, man, because we didn't have nothing in the house. So it was just tough times, man, but I think it definitely prepared me for life. I wouldn't change my childhood experience for nothing, man. It definitely groomed me the right way.
Were you the one of the oldest?
You know what I was, man? It's crazy, man. So, you know, it's six of us, and I was that middle child. You know, to be honest with you, man, my oldest brother was incarcerated when I turned 13 or 14 years old, and that kind of, you know, traumatized me a little bit, right? And then I had my older sister who was older than me as well, and, you know, she ran away from home. So you got me next in line. I'm just like, man, I don't know what I'm doing.
Shit.
Know,
so thank God, it's, you know, like fatherhood. But it's like fatherhood. Like, you were thrown in the position of leading the fam without really knowing what the hell it takes. Right?
Man, that's,
well, you just had to pick it up.
Facts, man. I mean, I had three younger sisters behind me, man. So I'm like, what am I going to do? And I think that's when everything started for me, for real.
Do you think him not being there, do you think it kind of like stunts your growth a little bit, like in certain areas? Like, because now you had to focus so much on making sure your siblings are good. Did it stunt you? Because like my mom, she was the oldest of, I think, seven, and both parents disappeared. And like at 11 or 12, she was the mom of the house, and that stunted her. You know, she couldn't go to school. She couldn't get a great job. You know, it fucked her life up, bro. You know what I mean?
Right,
because
right,
she had to focus
right,
so much right on the rest of the family. So did you feel like you were playing kind of like catch up a little bit?
You know what, man? I don't feel like I was playing catch up, but I definitely saw the weight of babysitting affect my other siblings. I think, you know, my oldest brother, you know, he had to sacrifice maybe some things that he wanted to do. And then, of course, my older sister had to maybe sacrifice some things she wanted to do. My mom was always supportive if you were doing the right things. Like, she supported sports. And you got to remember, my mom got pregnant when she was 16 years old. So she was trying to figure out things herself as well. So, yeah. You know, I give my mom a lot of credit for just being a strong woman. But I definitely felt that pressure of you next. And the only examples you got is your mom, who has a high school diploma, you know, who got pregnant at 16. Your oldest brother just went to jail, and you're 14. Your oldest sister's not around. You're next in line. What are you going to do? And I think from that place, man, I just started making some better decisions. Now, thank God my dad did come back. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was getting, like, straight up in school, man. It's just because I wanted attention. I wanted to be – I just felt unworthy, man. It's like, man, I don't have no pops around. Mom is working. You know, I'm out here at this school. Nobody cares about me. You know, and I think once my dad came back, you know, I was really intrigued by basketball, man. I was like, man, you know, if you can help me play basketball, I think I can keep my grades up. But, you know, the trauma also with that is, man, like, the hood don't let you be no nerd, man. You know what I mean? You walk around the hood with a book.
Oh,
you know
what I'm saying? Like, you know. that's a fact, bro. And I know this. I know this firsthand because I'm an '80s baby. So at '95, I'm 15, freshman in high school, and I love computers, bro. And my dad bought me my first computer, and it's like, yo, I got to be the nerd with cool sneakers walking past my drug dealing friends. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then go into my zone school that was a badass high school, and everybody looking at me like, yo, how this dude got such fresh sneakers? But he's a fucking nerd.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, man.
The hood is unforgiving, bro.
They don't care, dog. They'll take your shoes, too.
That's right, and send you right back to mom.
with one sock on.
That's crazy, man. So how do you now, do you think that trauma, like the trauma of not having a dad in the beginning stages of life, do you think that it stops people from being a dope father? Like, how do you think that you said your dad came back later on, right? But there's some people that their dads never come back, right? Do you think that stops them from being a great father or what? Like, how does that work? Because I know dads that be like, yo, man, like, my dad wasn't around. Fuck them kids, man. They could live without me too. And it's like, whoa. Nah, man, I can't fuck with that. You know?
Man, I'm gonna be all the way real with you, bro. So the way it affected me was when my daughter came out, man, that was it. Like, I was like, yo, this is the best thing ever, dog. Like, this is my daughter, dog. Like, when I see her, she touched my hand, bro, I was gone. I was so far gone and in love with my kid, right? Mm-hmm. Now, 11 months later, my son is here. Now, the difference between my son being born and my daughter, I didn't know how to love my son in the beginning because, of course, you don't have that memory of being your pops. You know, mine was very, very blurry. So I didn't know what to do, man. I'm up to, you know, tell him, stop crying. He's 6 months. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what are you yelling at him for? He's a boy.
Wait. Talk about. I'm sorry, bro. You're telling me that because dad wasn't around, like, it was easier for you to love your daughter? In the beginning, like, how to show that love as compared to, like, how to show emotional affection to your boy?
Absolutely, man. Wow, because, you know, again, we've been programmed to sincerely teach our sons to be tough. And I think that's a good thing, but it also can be a hurtful thing. I think young boys should be allowed to be emotional, man, because if they don't get that out early and they can't, they hold that in, man. And I think even as a 30-year-old man, I still hold emotions in, and that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been taught to not cry, shut up, and color. And you know what I mean? Just because you're a boy.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So I took that and tried to apply it to my son, and I just said that's not healthy for him. So I just found myself, you know, changing that up and saying, man, okay, my father wasn't around during these ages, so what are you going to do differently? And I think I just said, man, what would you have wanted? And all I would have wanted from my pops is just time, man, time. Mm-hmm. Time. And it's crazy because you're still experiencing different trauma. Now, it's one thing to be there all the time, right? But, you know, you got, like, the $6.14, and you're trying to make a life decision between the Dorito chips and the soda, but you can only get the Dorito chips for your kids. You know, it's just like a lower phase that you feel. Like, you're like, man, like, my baby deserves to get the chips, too. And, you know, you're in the checkout line, they want the soda, but you're like, you can't get that right now.
Yeah.
you know, and it's hurtful, but, you know, I used to have those days, man. I used to question, was I doing the right thing? I definitely wanted to go somewhere else to make more money, man. And thank God for a smart woman, because there were some days where I just felt like I was inadequate because of my funding, right? But looking back at it, man, I was doing the right thing the whole time. I just could have got better at managing my money, you know what I mean, and making my budget work. So, you know, my experience is, you know, throughout this whole thing, it's just been the more disciplined you are, the easier it becomes. And things got clear for me. But as far as my relationship with my daughter, that was simple. My relationship with my son has been amazing, because I stopped thinking about what happened to me. And I just said, what would I have needed? And I just put my energy there, man.
Wait, but tell me, how hard is that, though? Like, how hard is that for somebody to step back and kind of like do like a self-assessment or self-reflection of themselves? First of all, do the self-reflection, right? And then secondly, say, what I experienced in the past doesn't really affect my future. Like, how difficult is that? Mm-hmm. Because I know there's a lot of men out there that weren't raised with their dads, or maybe were raised there with their dads, and they use the trauma that they gained while being young to say that they're not sufficient enough to do it now. Right? Or they just say, yo, I'm ignoring this. Like, this didn't happen to me. Like, how hard is that to actually sit back and say, yo, this happened, and then reflect on it?
Right. I'll be 100% real with you, man. I think it's very, very challenging to look yourself in the mirror sometimes, because you don't want to admit the truth to yourself. Yep. And even as a grown man today, it's sometimes hard to say, no, you suck at that. Right? But it's easier to say you suck at something and fix it than just to deny it all along. Right? Like, for us to still say, like, oh, man, well, this happened to me 29 years ago, and I'm going to be stuck here. That's a decision more than it is, like, a real situation. It's just an illusion. So the fact that, you know, for me, what does my son and my dad, like, it has no relevance. So, you know, I just wanted to be a father on all facets. I think my kids have pushed me so much to just be everything that I'm supposed to be. So I really thank them, man, for that. But, you know, like your question said, like, first of all, it's acknowledgement. And then it's like, okay, so what do you do to change it? And, you know, I didn't have a lot of resources, but I had a free library card. So as I read more, things started to become a little bit more clear on kind of what kind of father I wanted to be.
And what did you read? What were you reading? Because this is really important, bro. I know to you this might seem like normal stuff right now because you've been doing it.
Right.
But this is very important, because a lot of dads, even myself, when I first started this, I didn't think dads needed a conversation like this. I thought, yo, we just rock out, right? So there's dads out there that actually need to hear that it's okay to invest in yourself. And you did it a free route. You went to the library, bro.
Yeah, man, you know, that library card is free $99. You know, so you got to take advantage of that. You know what I mean?
So what were you reading?
My budget. Man, so do you remember the movie The Pursuit of Happiness?
Of course. Listen, man.
Now, I didn't even have kids, but when I saw Will Smith break down and cry in the subway station, I felt every emotion, dog, from feeling embarrassed, loving your child, but just staying committed. Mm-hmm. And I think that scene is the most powerful scene in my life, because I said, you know what? I can respect that. I can respect the pops that's saying, you know what? I may not be there, but, you know, like, I'm here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that movie changed my life, man. My wife bought me the book, The Pursuit of Happiness. I read it, looking for clues and stuff like that. And, you know, at the time, I was just trying to figure out what he did to get to the top, you know. And it was an interesting read. It just talked about his childhood trauma. But what I saw was that he was very, very focused on changing the narrative. And, you know, when I read the book, it just gave me a little bit more deeper insight on just kind of how to handle adversity. And, you know, that moment where he's clapping, man, you know, the moment where he's just clapping, you know, like, this book is that moment for me and for fathers, man. Like, you remember that scene where he's just like, he says it's the last day, you know, we're tied and all, right? And then just the moment where they're just like, you did it. Yeah. And he like, you know, he can't even handle his emotions, because he's like, you know, that's real when you just like, for me, it's like, you can take care of your son. And that's all he wanted, man. Like, all he wanted to do was just to take care of his son. And, you know, he had some tough days, man. And, you know, like, that's been my journey the last 9 years. So this book is like my pursuit of happiness, man. And I'm trying to have my moment. You know what I'm saying? So it's been like that, man. But that's really the first book I read in the start of like saying like, man, I gotta figure something out. This man has success. Let me see what he did, you know? And you know, there's been a lot of tribulations, man. But that was the first book I read because Will Smith's powerful scene changed my life. And I didn't even have kids at that moment.
That's insane. That's insane. You didn't even have kids and it still affected you. That's how powerful that movie was, man.
Man, that scene was so powerful, man. I was crying, you know. Yeah, I don't cry too often, man. I mean, like, I think that came out like when I was in Japan. So I'm in the movies and, you know, I am crying, dog. I felt that. I felt that because he was trying, you know, like he was trying and you got this son who's watching him and, you know, it was just like, man, you know, and I know he wanted to give up, but he was just like studying and, you know, I just remember certain scenes from movies as far as him, you know, staying up at night reading in the dark, you know, just perseverance, man. And he didn't even know that it was going to work out for him. Yeah. Trying to be a stockbroker, you know, and I feel like for me, I was just trying to be a father, you know, and I think this book is just my pursuit of happiness, man. Like, I can finally just let it go. I can let the world know kind of what happened to me, but not necessarily to me, but to fathers in this world, man, how we just become so heartbroken. So I know it ain't easy for guys, man. We got so many hurdles that you got to go through. Number one, the emotional trauma of your father being absent. Number two, the pressures of the world telling you, oh, if you're not this, that, and the third, this is, you know, you're a bad father. And just the labels that we get attached to for no reason, man. So I think the reason why fatherhood has become so complex is because they have, like, really robbed us of the experience. And we don't even want to talk about it because we're so in pain. Yeah. It's even painful to talk about, you know. And it's like, think about it, man. If you tell a man, you know what I'm saying, like, man, I got so much going on. You know, we don't want to hear that. We like, yeah, but I'm going to buy you a drink. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you got to have a safe space to release that, man. I think Embrace Father is that space where I released it. And I'm excited to talk to fathers about releasing theirs, man, because I know they've been through some stuff. I can see it in their eyes, man. I'll probably interview over 1,000 fathers. They didn't know I was interviewing, but I was just asking them questions because, you know, you can just tell about their energy when they show pictures of their kids. It's like, oh, I understand. And the information that I got from them is kind of what I put into the book. It's like a jump. I call it gumbo, man. It's like a gumbo of all the trauma and experiences that fathers have been through in this one book. So it's definitely their story. It's definitely our story. I can't save every father by myself, but we can. And we can try. And I can look myself in the mirror and say, you know what, man, I did something about what I experienced because I could have kept the information to myself, but that's not cool.
Yeah, and how difficult was it to tell your story like that? Because I think for a lot of fathers, like we don't harp on our childhood, bro. Like our childhood is to a lot of dads, bro. It almost feels like it's non-existent. Even if you have a dad, bro, it's like it's non-existent. It's like, yo, I'm not talking about this.
Right, man. Listen, that was the most painful part, you know, and it's funny, man, because we're still in the editing process, and the last 2 weeks has been just hell, dog, because a lot of things that got revealed to me, but I think they got revealed to me to make the book the best book ever in terms of for fathers, you know. I think that I learned some stuff about my own pops, you know, like, I was like, man, you never told me that, and at first, I kind of prejudged, I'm not going to lie, and I was angry as hell, man. I was like, what, you know, like, what that, you know, like, I was just angry, but, you know, I quickly forgave him. You know, we talk now. You know, he's an amazing man. He's the best man I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. That's a line, yeah, right there, bro. Man. The best man I don't know. Bro. And how did that, man, how did that even come about, bro? Like, how did you put your guard down, right? Because I know, you know, I got an older brother, man. And my older brother, him and my dad do not get along. They're different, you know, different dads, right? And him and my dad don't get along. Like, he sees my dad down the block, and he got to either turn, go up the street, or they're going to bump into each other and rumble. You know what I mean? And it's like, how do you get past that?
Man, that's a great question, man. So I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think, you know, I've always been a truth seeker. Always. Always. So, you know, when I started adding up everything I've had to overcome, I'm like, I had to ask him some questions. You know, like, I've been my own attorney with the grace of God and the help of my wife being my paralegal, right, for like 9 years. And I'm like, where were you at? Because I've been over playing Johnny Cochran. Now, what did you have to go through? And we just started talking about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I'm deep. Like, because, you know, right, because I'm like, I've been over being Johnny Cochran with YouTube channel, trying to press my objections, trying to understand statues and all this just so my kids won't feel abandoned. So
it's almost like, what the hell happened to you? Like, what's your excuse? Right? Like, you almost hit him with that excuse.
Yeah, I'm like, you was gone for like a while, bro. I ain't got no birthday parties, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got no controller. And the only thing I used to always hear from both him and my mom was like, the child support, you know, child support. I'm like, child support? What? Okay, did you pay it? You know, did you not pay it? With like, you know, what? Well, it was child support, doc. And, you know, when you really start asking questions, man, I mean, my pa, we changed some words, and I felt bad as a son because I know the truth is always respect your parents, though. But you're just like, bro, that's some BS, man. I ain't got nothing to do with why you was absent. You know what I'm saying? And I called him out on it now. After I called him out, you know, I felt bad. But I had to get that off my chest. Like, you don't need your child. I don't care what you're talking about. Like, but I understand. I understand now as well. So,
so you
had to call my mom.
So you understood, you understood it. It doesn't mean that you forgave the reasonings, right? But you understood where it was coming from.
And I understood his position.
And that made do you think that made it easier to, I guess it does, right? Like, it makes it easier if you understand where they're coming from. It's almost like empathy, right? Like, you have some empathy for his situation. And now you can look back and say, all right, man, like, we weren't there before, but we could work on something now. You know what I mean? Like, we could push a little forward. You know what I mean?
For me, it was different. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, I found out I'm not like my pops. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I found out. I was like, oh, okay, you my pops, but now we look different about how we go about things. You understand what I'm saying? So I was always used to say, like, I'm like my pops. I'm like my pops. After that conversation, I said, I'm not like my pops. I have my pops' DNA, but I ain't like my pops. You know what I'm saying? I think my pops always gave me kudos for just being an amazing father, but he had no clue what I was experiencing. And, you know, for me, who am I to look at my pops and say, man, I did judge when I was 14. Like, man, you always, you know, choosing this over that and choosing this over me. As a grown man, you like pops. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would do things differently, but I understand that our life experiences have been different, and you know, you did the best you could, and you know, maybe this book can help him understand. Cause I got brothers now, man, they're like 18 and 19 in college, and I'm just like, history will repeat itself, man, if you don't address the problem straight on. So it's funny to hear even my brothers talk about some of the same emotions that I experienced. And you know, my pops is a great man, you know, man, but I mean, we talk about accountability. He's just something that us as fathers, man, we gotta look ourselves in the mirror and say, okay, am I doing everything? And if you're doing everything you can, you don't have to hold your head down. You know, you did everything you could, but when you know you didn't, yeah, you got some stuff to reflect on.
Or when you hide from it, like when you hide from the things that you know happened. You know what I mean? When it's almost like you're trying to sleep the pain away, and it's like, no, dogs, the pain is still gonna be here. Like, sleep ain't gonna take this away, bro. You owe money. The bills will still be there while you sleep.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true, man. But it's better just to address it head on, man. And I think, you know, for me, I learned a lot, man, throughout writing this own book. I thought I was writing a book to help fathers, man. I ended up helping myself on this process, man. And
it's therapy.
It's been a long time coming. It took me 4.5 years to finish it. I wouldn't change anything about my process.
Mm-hmm. No, it's therapy. It's therapy. It seems to me like you had an outlet to let it all out. Like you said earlier, you were your own attorney during like cases and stuff like that. Well, here you were your own therapist.
Right? I was.
Where now you're crying out, or you're spilling everything out to the book, but while you're putting it on these pages, you're reflecting on it. Now there's no way around it. It's there in front of your face. You can't say, yo, it's my daddy's fault. Yo, it's my mom's fault. Yo, it's my cousin's fault. Nah, this is right here in front of me. What am I going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's like the best therapy is that self-reflection where you couldn't run away. You know? It's right there.
Nope.
It's right there.
Man. And you know, go ahead.
Now, I was just gonna say, you know, that takes a lot of power to do, man. Like a lot of willpower. You know, I love to find out how we pass these lessons to our kids, right? Like you said, you have to look yourself in the mirror, and you got to reflect. How do you make sure you teach your son and your daughter that it's okay to look in the mirror and reflect on your life?
I think honestly, man, because of what I've been through and what I've endured, I think you have to just start them off with understanding accountability early on. You know, and the first thing I always know my kids do is make their bed. You know, they're 5, 6 at the time, but, you know, I knew what accountability and discipline looked like. You know, it's like, well, why didn't you make your bed? Well, I have no time. Yes, you did. You know, or why didn't you brush your teeth? Well, I got, yes, you did. you know, why didn't you, you know, do X, Y, Z? So I think I'm always drilling my kids in the terms of accountability. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to ask for help. And dad is not here to, you know, just tell you to do something. It all has a purpose. So I think helping my kids understand how they can stay organized, how they can push themselves, you know, has helped me. Like, you know, my son and my daughter, we all go to the library. You know, we go to the library, I make them read maybe 15, 30 minutes, you know, and then they get a reward. But, I mean, you have to really motivate your kids. If you can't motivate your own kids, why are you asking the world to do it?
Yeah, you know, and so, sometimes you got to take the L, right? Where you got to take the L. And I mean the L in the best way possible, which is, yo, I might have to sit in the library with my child for a half an hour to help them level up in reading. I don't want to sit there. I don't want to sit there and read for 30 minutes, but they need it.
Right.
So I'm going to go do it. You know what I mean?
Right, man. And what I have a problem with parents is they put so much on their kids of what they're supposed to become, but they never lead by example. And I think we got to get out of that, man. Like, if you don't read, why are you asking your kid to read? Show them that you read, and they'll be intrigued by reading. I think kids only mirror the behavior that they see.
Yeah.
And if they're always around you, why are you not disciplining what you're telling them? Because they don't care what you say. They care what you do. And I think as parents take that sincerely to the heart, you'll be surprised. Like, kids, like, okay. Like my son, he's a space cadet, but he watches me play video games. I play video games sometimes. He likes it too. So what am I going to tell him? Oh, you should be playing video games like that. That's what I do sometimes. Yeah. Or my daughter. Now, my daughter is a nerd like me, but she's in an environment that allows her to read. I got a voicemail from a teacher one time, and it was just saying how she had over 50 books in her desk. As a father, man, I was like, oh, that's so dope.
I know you were proud as hell.
I was like, the teacher telling her, you know, you're my, you know, good student, and I love the fact you have 50 books in your desk. So it lets me know that my daughter's trying to make her father happy, but she's picked up a good habit. So my daughter's going to be a very, very blessed young lady because she reads. And I always tell her, man, it's brains over beauty.
Yeah.
Definitely. Over beauty. Because I don't want her thinking because she's so beautiful that she don't have to have brains. And I believe in that, man.
I do too, man. I think we've seen it. You know, you and I both come from a world where beauty is rewarded. But it's not long term. You know what I mean? It's not long term, and it doesn't come with its own sacrifices. You know what I mean?
You ain't
like you gotta do some crazy shit.
Amen.
Yeah. So yeah, now let's get a little personal, bro. You were talking about being being your own Johnny Cochran, bro. Right? Can you talk to us about that a little bit, man? Like, what? How did you go through that, man? I'm assuming this is, you know, court issues, getting custody, things like that. I know you've been through it. Can we nudge at that a little bit? Can we poke at that?
Man, we can go deep. Man, listen, man, I'm an open book. Literally, man. Listen.
So talk to me about that, bro. How did you deal with custody of your kids, bro? Visitations, if at that. You know what I mean?
Right. So my situation, to be exact, is 2014, right? And I had just entered grad school, right? And I'm at work. I'm at work, literally at work, just working. And, you know, someone says, hey, Mr. Snow, you have a visitor. I'm like, I'm at work. Gonna come visit me. And it is a sheriff. You know, I'm like, sheriff? And I get served papers. You've been served, right? Mm-hmm. Now, 2 months prior to that, me and my kid's mom, I was like, look, this ain't gonna work. Like, I can't be with you. I want to raise my kids, but me and you ain't gonna work out. So I'm out. You know, and I knew I was out because I got an apartment like the next week. You know what I mean? I wasn't playing no more. Like, I was done. But
yeah, it wasn't half and half. Right, it was now. We out. We ending this.
I'm out. So I ended up buying an apartment right down the road. Like, I was probably 10 minutes out. You know, because I was like, hey, I'm still committed to helping you raise our kids, but the relationship is over. Done. Yeah. Over with. So, you know, 2 months later in April, I'm getting served with papers saying that, you know, you got to go to court because, you know, she wants full custody. That's when you're talking about, I mean, my heart beating fast right now.
The shit gets crazy. Like, it's like shit hit the fan now.
Like, yeah, I wanted to say that, but I'm glad you said it for me, brother. Yeah, it hit the fan, dog. And I'm like, what in the world? And it wasn't the fact that she wanted to go to court. It was she wanted to take my kids all the way to Japan. Okinawa, Japan, to be exact. And I had already been over. I'm like, what? Japan? Like, Japan? Really? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, nah. So that was the beginning of it, man. And, you know, at the time I was working a job, in grad school, you know, just got out of that situation, and it was a lot, man. So I started drinking that Crown Royal like it was water. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm drinking it away, because I'm like, I'm going to lose. I ain't got no money for no attorney. And that was the first, like, trauma where I'm like, somebody trying to take my kids.
Tell me. So you started drinking to what? To, like, block out the trauma or the pain? Like, just, like, to brush it off? Or was it just sent you down a spiral where it was like, damn, I don't know what I'm going to do right now?
It was like, okay, I know that I'm not with you, but how does it benefit our kids for them to be in Japan?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And she like, oh, I'm not going to put you on no child support. You know, you can come visit me anytime you want. I'm like, well, yeah, but they ain't the ones asking to go to Japan. You know, and, you know, she's military, and I had just got out of the military, right? So I gave up my career, dog, to be a father. You know what I mean? I always lived overseas. I never lived in the United States in terms of doing my military career. But I gave up a lot to be a father. So for her to say, hey, I'm going to Japan, I'm like, for what? Like, they don't need to be over there. She's like, well, they can speak Japanese. I'm like, they are 2 and 1 years old. Like, who's speaking Japanese over here? So we had a disagreement about that. But I remember, man, it felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders, because I can't breathe without my kids, man. And not only that, I'm just like, I had just left my kids for 2 months because the relationship was so toxic. It was so toxic, man. Like, it disturbed me. I had never... It felt like being in jail, but you weren't in jail, you know? So I made my decision, man, that I was not going to be a part of that toxic relationship anymore. So my friend at the time, which is now my wife, like, she just came over. She literally sees me on the floor, man, with the Crown bottle next to my head, like, I don't know what to do, you know? And I think at that moment, man, you know, she started to share shoes and say, like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I want my kids. And I think we started to put the game plan together there. We went to court in... August, September, you know, and, you know, I was really in the courtroom, nervous, with a suit on, trying to explain how, like, first and foremost, I just want to be a father. And, you know, when you let me be a father, you know, like, I have a degree, I've separated from the military, got an armed discharge, like, there's no reason why I should not be allowed to be a father. You know, and once, you know, the court thing happened, I think December 1st, man, I got the letter saying, like, you know, we both can split custody. And that was, like, the best day. And I'm like, yeah, I get to be a father, you know, because before that, you know, it was very, very just, I feel like I had no rights. She told me I could.
And the court system don't help you either. Like, it makes you feel like you, I don't want to say it like this, but it makes you, the court system, from what I hear and from the experiences of other dads, it makes you feel like you're worthless, man. Like, you don't belong here. And it's like, dawgs, I created this. You know, man, what I mean?
We don't get into the court system in terms of the unfairness part, but, like, just with her, man, like, she was the gatekeeper between myself and the kids. You know, I'm like, we there was nothing established. So I'm like, well, can I pick my kids up from daycare? She's like, no. I'm like, well, can I get my kids on weekend? It was always on her terms, and I couldn't stand that, you know? And it was just like, it was a lot, man. So I'm telling you, man. The first time I got custody of my kids, I got the worst text message in the world from you know who. And it said what it said, man. And that's been the battle ever since. And the text message said, you're going to lose all your rights one day. And the judge made a mistake. And, bro, I mean,
yeah, it's fight.
Really, man, I mean, it's been, I just came from court September 14th. And we having a virtual court hearing to determine if I can get my rights back. You know, my rights were taken away from me from a DCS trial where I even won the appeal. And they still won't give me my rights back. So even to this day, man, like, I don't have any rights to my kids because of a lie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, there's no way a guy like me should have rights to my kids. But as you can see, there's things that set in place that just makes it difficult, man. But, I mean, that's my real situation, man. But the book is about other situations. You know, what I've done is created 4 characters, you know, 2 black men, a white male and a Hispanic male who are sincerely on this journey together, you know, and they going through similar but different scenarios. But they end up forming this brotherhood, man, because they understood how important it was for them to do it together. So, it's just crazy, man, what I've been through, but I don't even know how I went through that, man. But I know that the love of my daughter and my son definitely held me down. So
That's what I was going to ask you. How did you even manage to pull through? Because you know we were talking off air, and that's one of those situations where if it gets a little too crazy, a lot of dads, unfortunately, would say, "Yo, I ain't dealing with this." You know what I mean? Right, like if you don't want me to be part of their life, then fuck it. And it's like, no, dogs, you no excuses, man. You got to go get yours. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the DCS trial is what broke me, man. The DCS trial was like, you know, it's funny, man. I was, you know, with the help of the wife, man, we was in there like the first attorney was catching these bars like, nah, that ain't what happened. She's not truthful. And then, like, the DCS trial happened 1 week before the judge was going to make an opinion, right? And I had my kid at that time for 24 months straight, just me, you know, and she was overseas, and then she was, like, 2 hours away. So for 24 months, in 2014, like, I had my kids four times, mm-hmm. never asking for a dime. So when the DCS trial took place, it wasn't even a DCS trial. It was more like I came from a basketball tournament, went to go pick up my kids, and, like, you know, I'm like, okay, hey, where the kids at? You know, and she's like, oh, you're not getting your kids. I'm like, well, why not? You know, and, you know, he just kept them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Monday, you know, I go to court because I've done it so many times where I'm like, yo, judge, like, you know, she gonna try something, man. Will you help me out? And, you know, he's like, oh, y'all just keep the peace. I'm like, no, man, you don't understand. I know her. So,
yeah, like, I'm trying. You know, I'm trying, but right. You got to help me with this other side.
Right. I'm like, you know, because just 1 month prior to the kids, the DCS trial, we had already had an incident in April. And I don't want to go into detail about it, but, you know, it was just like, I'll deny getting my kids back. So, I mean, in May when it took place, I said, I told you, judge, she's going to do this. And it happened. And, you know, there was, like, order of protection for, like, a year. And that's the lowest I felt, man, in my life, where I'm like, how you gonna just let this woman take my babies, man? Like, she took my babies. Mm-hmm. She took my babies. It wasn't no, you know, awful lie. You know, like, it was just like, she really took my babies. And I think I had my little vent session and moment where I ain't seen my kids for like 4 or 5 months, man. Like, can you imagine being a part of your kid's life every day and then nothing?
No, and
call.
No, and like you said, like, you loved your kids more than anything, to the point that you thought you were crazy for loving your kids so much. So
that's facts,
losing them for even a day is like, come on, man, this is traumatizing. You know what I mean? Like, this is traumatizing. Man, but it, you know, it shows, yeah, you know, it shows the, you know, I don't know too much about the court system. We're not going to harp on that too much, but it's like, it shows that there's still a lot of work to be done. You know what I mean? When it comes to equality for parents, you know what I mean? Like, we talk a lot about equality and stuff, and parents still ain't treated equal, man. Like, especially dads, you know what I mean? Like, we got to do everything right to get a chance. You know what I mean? Like, just everything right.
And still get robbed, man.
Yeah.
Still get robbed, man. So, you know, that happened, man. And I couldn't even call my babies. I couldn't even pick up the phone and call. You know, like, 4 months is a long time, man. And, you know, now when I had to go see them for the first time, it was like, you know, she asked for, like, a witness to be there. Like, I'm like, I done had my kids 24 months straight. Now I need supervised visitation.
Yeah, like, stop playing these games, man. Like, stop playing these games. You know what I'm about. Like, I'm here to see my kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, that happened. So the DCS trial was a whole different level of, no, you're not going to be no father. You know, thank God for my wife just, you know, speaking up on my behalf and just being there, man. I can't thank that woman enough for just having my back throughout this process, man. But you gotta understand, man, like, these folks took my kids. So the DCS thing took place. They charged me, right, off of a lie, and she had the right attorney to do so. And that's why I said, like, it is a system, because she could pay for an attorney but not pay anything for her kids. We'll talk about that later. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's in court saying, like, let's help him expedite this, because, you know, this guy, it's an abuse case. And I'm like, what? You know, and abuse was, I did explain to my daughter, I disciplined her, you know, but out of love, like, hey, baby, you can't just tell the teacher no. Right? In kindergarten, you know what I mean? But, yeah, man, I first saw my kids, it was just so painful, man, because, it was just painful, man. And it's been like that ever since. And
I mean, it's painful. It's painful because you care. You know what I mean? I think that's one of those situations where you as a dad, you care so much. And if you can't do the slightest of fathering, yo, it makes an impact, bro. Like, it hurts. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're about and you want to be there. So it's one of those situations that it's going to hurt because you honestly care. Like, I think for a dad to not, for a dad to feel otherwise, it means that they didn't really care about their child. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, right. That just showed that you cared. So now you pull through. I know you're still going through it now, right? But how do you make the best of times then? Like, when you talk to them, when you chill with them, how do you make sure that, yo, this is our time. We ain't going to talk about no nonsense. You know what I mean?
Right. So I got the whole, hey, baby, what's up? You know, I'm always energetic with it, and I'm always asking my daughter what kind of date she want to have. Yeah. Hey, Dad, I want to take the waffle. You want the cognac? Which one make you for dinner, baby? You know, oh, Dad, I want the fraction. All right, babe, I got you. My son, hey, what we doing this weekend? You trying to play the game with me? Yeah, Dad, I want to play. All right, well, you know, working out. You want to work out? Yeah, I will work out. You know, all the time play basketball. Like, I embrace it, man. Like, I, even though it's only 48 hours, I try to put as much into the 48 hours and try not to be so emotional about being denied access. But it's definitely a process, man. But if 48 hours, you know what I'm saying, is what I get, I make the best of the 48 hours, man.
That's crazy. And it's crazy because a lot of men will complain and say, what can I get done in 48 hours, right? But on the same token, a lot of men will say, all right, I got 48 hours with my kids. Let's say I got custody with them. Let's say I live with the mother of my child, right? I got the weekend to chill with them, but I'd rather go do some work. You know what I mean? Where it's like you're fighting to make the use of these 48 hours, while sometimes some dudes will fight to do something else, right? Where it's like, yo, let me go get that overtime money. You know what I mean? Right. Like, let me go make some cash. And it's like, no, you could really make a difference in 48 hours. You can make a difference in 2 hours.
Right.
It's
And I'm not perfect, man. And I'll be the first to say, man, I'm not perfect, man, because – you know, my trauma was deeper than that. Like, I'll be at work, man. I used to be at work, man. There's just no lie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my kid's mom, she worked on a military base, right? So, you know, military base, daycare closed at like 5:30. Now, I didn't get off work until probably about 6 o'clock. So I would tell her, like, hey, you know, can you just, you know, 30 minutes just help me out? No. I'm like, hey, they are kids. Like, don't just leave them up there. No. It's your day. You figure it out. I'm like, oh, are you serious? These are babies. You right there. I had plans. I'm like, all right, you know. So I was out, and that's probably why I don't like driving, because I used to have to rush so much, because I felt like if I made one mistake, just one, she's gonna use that as means to take my kids away. And it's been like that forever, man. And I just got to the point where I said, stop playing with me. Like, I know what you're doing. I know how you're doing it. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. You know. And it got to the point where I was just like, look, you can't be around me. You taking me through 9 years of frustration with me being a father, with foolishness. And,
enough
is enough. And I think this book with 2020, with all this other stuff going around, like, I'm telling fathers right now, yo, enough is enough, man. Like, the reason why I think the world doesn't respect us as fathers is because we don't respect ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for real. Like, that's why people don't take us serious. They, you know, we want to be fathers, but, you know, we pick poor partners. We don't think with the right head. We think with the one on the neck instead of the, you know, like, we don't think right about what we choosing. We just think, you know, like, just with urges. And now you got 4 or 5 kids, you know, maybe 2 or 3 different baby moms, and you complaining. But you did the crime. The crime was you didn't do your research on who you sleeping with. Now you done put somebody else in this world who has to feel that pain from y'all mess. And I'm telling dads to take accountability first. Don't think I'm giving women a pass, but we're going to talk about them later. But I'm not a woman basher.
Yeah, nah, I feel you. I feel you, though, because I feel you, because it's the, you know, I'm a 40-year-old dad. And, you know, in college, you know, all my friends that I'm 23 in college, about to do my master's, most of my friends had kids already. And they were all looking at me like I was the crazy one. Like, yo, why you don't got a child yet? And it's like, no, I'm not ready. And, yo, I'm protected up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to risk anything. So I'm gonna make sure that I'm having safe sex, right? And it's because I don't want to deal with the stuff that I've seen in my neighborhood. I don't want to deal with the two girls or the three girls and multiple, you know, kids and whatever. And it wasn't a tough decision. It was a tough thing to live with when you're surrounded by people that aren't thinking like that. Because this is something that you're asking men to do. And yo, man, you know, you find a lady that's fine as hell. You take a couple shots of Hennessy. Yo, you ain't thinking about 10 years from now. You're thinking about that moment. You know what I mean? And it's hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that, paid the price twice.
No, and that's real. You know what I mean? That's real, though. That comes back to what you were saying earlier. It's all about, you know, the self-reflection, right? But accountability. Right. Where you said, I did the dirt with the wrong person, but now I got to figure out how to make it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And there's nothing wrong with that, bro. You can't kick yourself, you know, you can't kick yourself down the hill for that. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know. I don't, man. I do not. Like, I hold my head up high. It's not always easy to do, but I mean, from this day forward, like, I just say, man, I'm an amazing dad. She know that. She know I'm an amazing dad. That's why she don't want them with me, because it don't have nothing to do with her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anytime your baby's running you full speed, laughing, man, a mom knows that. What is uncomfortable is, like, I just feel like the guys that don't want to be with their kids get a free pass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they get real free passes. Like, they ain't got to do nothing. They just, I ain't put you no child support. Just, you know, it's like, it's a catch-22. When they know you love your babies, you finna go through something. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go through it. But when you don't care.
That's your weakness right
there.
Yeah.
Man, they use it. They use it, man. I'm tired of that. That's trifling. So we look outside the window and we say, the world is so messed up. But we never turn around and look at our baby and say, we're the reason why the world is messed up. Because parents are just playing these games. You know, I tell women now, like, look, I don't hear you talk about nothing about no child support. Because before you opened your legs, you should have had your financial situation squared away. Now you're trying to blame somebody else for something you can do for yourself. Like, it's 2020. Stop playing. Why are you sleeping around with men when you know your finances ain't in order? Like, what's up with that? And now you're going to say that a man don't deserve to be a father because he can't pay you? Ain't no kid no paycheck. You need to get your own stuff together. Don't sleep around or don't sleep with men if you ain't got your finances in order, right? For dudes, bro, be careful. Why are you sleeping with six different chicks and you ain't got your finances in order? Now, if you got it, you got it. But I think it's some accountability on both sides that has to be addressed. Like, I'm tired of women saying that, and I'm going to give you scenario A and scenario B. All right? And you just answer the question. Like, scenario A, father has kids for 24 months. Mom pays dad, not dad directly, but daycare for, we'll just say 10 out of 24 months. But dad held it down with the kids full-time for 24 months. That makes mom a blank, right? What does that make mom?
It makes her in some people's eyes, they'll make her seem like she's the god. And it's like, nah, the dude is putting in work, man. Like, don't take it away from the dude.
She's a supportive wife.
Yeah, she's a supportive mom. Right. Yeah, and it's like, if the dude does that, if the dude switches he's a deadbeat.
Right. Thank you, man. So if dad do the exact same action, the whole term, he a deadbeat. He ain't no deadbeat. You ain't got your stuff together either. Why are you trying to hold him to the fire? You ain't got your stuff to the fire. And I'll tell you my mistake was. My mistake was when my kids got stripped from me, I wasn't paying child support. I could be 100 about that. But I was like, if she can invest 40 grand into an attorney, I'm not finna get with no more blood to take my babies away. And that's why I made my mistake. That's why I made my mistake. But I was upset and angry about how it happened. I'll be honest with you. Like, why am I going to support somebody that just took my kids? I'm not. Like, you took my kids. Like, it wasn't like they was in need for something. They was fine just here, but you was mad because
we can't be together.
I'm happy.
Yeah, because we can't be together. So it's like, you know, that's something that always triggered me, right? And it comes from both sides. It comes from the males and the females, where it's like, yo, why would you want to see me do bad? When if I'm doing bad, the kid is going to feel this. Like, we don't need to like each other no more. We don't need to be all lovey-dovey. But, yo, you shouldn't want me to fail, because if I fail, your child is the one that feels that impact. Like, you might be laughing. You might be in the hallway laughing because I failed. Right. But my kid isn't going to get something because of that failure. You know what I mean?
Man, listen. When I think about that scenario in itself, that's a lot of women, man. That's sad. Because you are so you are so broken within yourself that you want your child to experience the same energy that you got because you mad at somebody that just didn't want to be with you. Now, here's the deal. I look at myself as like, if I was a billionaire and a person that want to be with me, would I really trip out? I don't think I would.
Nah, I might even cut them a check. Like, I'm like, right, man, I'm a billionaire and you driving that? Nah, let me go buy you a better car for like that. My kid could be safe in the car. You know what I mean?
Fact. So when I think about, you know, genders, male and female, I don't really lose no sleep about what I lost. And I don't want to see that person lose in life. But it seems as if immature people want to say, oh, you know, I want them to fail. You wanted a person that you slept with, that you got babies with, to fail so that you can say that you're better? What kind of stuff is that, man?
The most asinine shit ever, bro. Like, it's retarded.
Let me tell you something. I don't even talk to you that do that no more. Like, if you do that, stay away from me. Like you are what's wrong with the world. You want to see a grown person that you slept with. Why did you sleep with a person that you feel like needs to, you know...
That you want them to lose so bad. Like, what happened? What happened when we went bad together?
You know, like go get counseling for that, man. That's corny to me, man. I don't expect no man or woman to do that. Like, you know what I mean? But you know how it favors the other side more than the other side. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's real stuff, man. And it's happening a lot. But that's why our world's so messed up, man. Them kids... I heard my diagnosis through Eric Thomas, no cap. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there just listening to one of his motivational speeches, man. And I think he called it rehab. And mm-hmm. I was like, he just diagnosed me. I was abandoned by my pops. And that's why I go so hard, man. My kids will never know what it feels like to be abandoned. And
ET will put you to work, bro. It will get you thinking.
Man, I love that man. You know what? I love his podcast as well, man. Like, when I see him and, you know, Jamal King, CJ, and Carl just talking about how they are accountable to their families and doing good work for, you know, in God's eyes, man, that's very, very admirable. You know what I mean? So you gotta get credit due. And I feel like if I could be half of the man Eric Thomas is, just half, dog, like, be around that, man, I'm on the right steps, man. So, you know, just listen to that kind of energy. You know, I'm definitely influenced by Nip Hussle. You know what I mean? It was his son that got me to a place of saying, like, I'm gonna figure this out, you know. And then he said the words, like, he know he a genius, he just can't claim it because they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded, but deep down inside, you know, you can't fade them. You know what I mean? Like, when I heard those lyrics, man, like, my whole perspective said, I'm going to get my babies one day, you know, and
I'm going to push through.
It's funny how music, I'm going to push through, man. I didn't make no excuses, man. And I think I never wanted his words to go, you know, like, just, I want him to know, like, yo, when I heard your words, they worked. And I can't wait to go drop my book off in front of his, you know, monument, man, like, in terms of his story, because he was right. Stick to the script. Just do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, not today, not tomorrow, maybe not even 3 years from now, man, but in time, man, you'll get there. And I feel that way with this book. Like, that message is how I was like, man, I'm going to get back on my book. And it's still been a journey. And I was still going through trauma. I was still going through the court cases. But you see where I'm at? We about to drop this book, man. Like, that's my album.
You're still pushing.
I don't rap on TV.
Yeah, you're still pushing. Man. No excuses. You know what? When we talk about, like, no excuses and even, like, the book, right? Like, one size doesn't always fit all, right? So how are you using the different scenarios in your book to help dads, like, overcome things and also embrace fatherhood? Like, can you tell us about the, like, how many scenarios did you have in the book? Was it 3 or 4 or was it more? Like, how did you structure that?
Man, it's 4 different scenarios, man. So all these men have different scenarios, man. You got the mom that you take the baby to a different state. You got the military mom who's in a relationship with a, you know, different person having to be the same sex. You have the mom and dad that get along, but, you know, now there's a difference in scenario. And then you have the last scenario, which I won't get too much into it because that's the one that hits home for real, you know?
That one's more personal? Like more of your story? Is it still like another person, like a third eye view?
I think that story is really the story of why our world is so sad. Because when you link up with a toxic person, it can destroy you. And I think the book kind of illustrates that the best to the best of my ability, you know. And I think that's not just like my story, but that's a lot of father's story, you know. And the guy's a he's a celebrity, you know. And I think I think people always think that because men have it together that nothing is wrong. And I think this one takes him for a twist. And you know, it's just crazy, man. So these characters, man, like, you know, in the book, man, they are all just healthy, good guys, fathers. Some of them married, some of them not married anymore, but they handling their business. And, you know, they all end up linking up because they meet in different places. But they're like, yo, you know, why are we going through this? So they're talking about it. Also in the book, you got, you know, women have very, very valid points, right? And my thing with that is, okay, now, you got a good point. You're absolutely right about your career. Or you're absolutely right about you being a mom. But you didn't make these babies by yourself. So you have to put that aside and say, how are we, and I do mean we, not me, we, despite the fact we're no longer in a relationship, going to raise our children. I think that's the part that we got to have this question. Like, we got to have this conversation, because you can't tell me because you got a job opportunity that you get to take my baby away. It ain't got nothing to do with my babies. They would have probably told you, no, go ahead, man. Go ahead. You know, but that still impacts the child. So I just think it's 2020. There's a lot of things going on in the world. We're already addressing different issues. Let's address this one, too, because fatherhood, to me, is the best thing in the world. So why would somebody deny you access, number one? Number two, if we understood how, like, luxury fatherhood was, I think we'd make better decisions, man. Like, I really do. So,
yeah, no, this shit is a blessing, bro. Like, this shit is a blessing. Like, it isn't not only just having a child, but being able to watch that child grow. Like,
right.
It's a blessing like no other. Like, you came from corporate America like me, or, you know, you left corporate America like I did. And one thing that you always hear in corporate America was the old dude, you know, 50, 60 years old, telling you, yo, I wish I would have done that when I was younger. You know what I mean? Like, they're always regretting something. And it's like, yo, if you're not there with your kid, yo, when you're 60, you're going to regret that shit, man. Like, you're going to regret it. And you can't make that time up, man. Like, people swear, it's like, yo, I could do it later. No, you cannot.
Nah,
no, you cannot. Some things you cannot Photoshop, and you're not going to get a second chance at. You know what I mean?
Nope. But I understood that, man. I understood that although, you know, my kids were young, I was like, man, like for me, I'm going to tell you what I love the most. I love making my kids breakfast in the morning. Like, that's one of the most, I live for that. You know what I mean? Making them breakfast is what I live for, because I get to make my kids a meal and get to talk. You know, I get to play some music. You know, I kind of get to know them a little bit more. But, you know, I love making my baby's breakfast, you know.
And it's simple. You're not breaking the bank. You know what I mean? You're not breaking the bank. You're not going crazy. You're doing something that you need to do already, and you're doing it while having fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're doing it for somebody special.
Right, man. And it's an honor to serve, man. It's an honor to serve my kids. I understood the importance of time. I understood that, you know, although they were young, them having memories of me being there was more important. You know, as I get older, man, you know, I started, you know, get other cool friends, but, you know, I'm going to be around. You know, I look forward to the day where my kids say, you know what, Pops, man, I thought you was this, I thought you was that, but, you know, I thank you. And that may not happen anytime soon, but I look forward to that day. And, you know, I think I'm looking forward to being a grandfather as well. You know what I mean? Like, I do, you know what I mean? Because I look forward to that, man. But it's a process, you know what I mean? But being a father has been the best experience in my life. Despite the tragedies, you know what I mean? And I would, if it meant like being a father all again, I would do it again. Now, I would make better decisions, but I'm still a dad. I'm still a great dad, despite, you know, the powers that be trying to strip my babies away. So, I mean, man, I'm telling you, man, if I'm a guy and I hear this podcast and I don't have no kids, you better get this book. If I'm a father who's going through baby mama and baby dad drama, go get this book. If I'm a married man who's thinking about getting divorced because we don't see eye to eye, go get this book. You got to get this book. If I'm a woman who wants to know why men just run away, go get that book. If you are a person that has questions about why your dad dipped out, go get this book. I mean, it's in
everything.
The book.
No, it's everything, and it's for dads that we are prideful dudes, man. Like, we're prideful creatures. So asking questions isn't our forte, bro. It's not the best thing that we could do. It should be the best thing we do, but we don't want to do it. So having a book is the same way like you having a community of dads at your steps. You know what I mean? Where it's like now you can open up a book and see these things without any biasness. without feeling right. like you're a loser. And right. by and being able to actually soak it all in without having to ask questions. Everything is there for you. Right. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I tell people all the time. Like, when I first started this, I was part of a group called the City Dads. And all my friends from my old hood were like, yo, what the hell is this? A gang? Like, what are you doing with the City Dads? Right. Like, we got our crew. And it was like, no, I don't.
Right.
No, I don't. Because these are all dads. You guys are not. The things that we right. talk about as dads is completely different than the dudes that aren't fathers. I needed that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I needed that. Right. So, you know, I want to end this with something great, bro, because you've been dropping gems on trauma, and I don't want to end on a sad note, bro, at all. At all. So tell me something that you've done in the past month with either your daughter or son, or even over the phone or whatever, that's made you say, damn, fatherhood is lit, man. Like, I'm not going to change this.
Man, listen. Asking my daughter where she want me to take her on a day date.
Wait, you on a what? On a what? Day date, you said?
Like, so when I call my daughter and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm getting you this weekend. Wait, I'm taking you on a date.
Ooh, right? I love it.
Right. So I'm like, where you want to go, babe? Where you going? I'm write it down. So she explains to me, like, oh, I want this. I'm like, all right, bet. You know, and I want to go here. And I'm like, all right, bet. You know, so I do that. The energy's high. My daughter's like, excited. I put my son on the phone. Hey, man, we got to make the game a tag. You know, my son's a gamer. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, I got to get the camera so I can record you. You get your, you know, your Twitter, your Twitch page.
You know, you got the stream right. life. The stream life popping.
Yeah, because I'm like, bro, he'll watch YouTube for 2 hours straight. I'm like, bro, okay, you really like this, huh? Okay, so for me to be in his world is for me to go get a camera and say, I'm recording you. Now, tell the kids, you know, but I mean, fatherhood is lit. You know what I mean? Like, I got a boy and a girl, man. They both are different, but they're similar. And I love this, dog. I love this, dog.
Nah, I love that. I love that, bro. You just verified one of my lessons, bro. I've been doing this for 3 years now, and I tell people all the time, like, yo, if you really want to make your presence felt, it doesn't have to be boring, but you could do things that they like. Like, for my son, he loves buying sneakers. Yo, I don't do that no more. That's my old life. My old life was, yo, I needed a new pair of sneakers every couple weeks just to stunt, to show people that I had it. You know what I mean? With him, he's doing it because he loves it. And it's like, damn, I get to go backwards now and relive my youth through him. That's dope as hell. And I could give him knowledge. Yo, this kid is 14 years old. 14 years old learning how to resell sneakers, bro. I wish I had that.
That's perfect. Bro, let me give credit where credit's due, man, because let me be real with you, man. You know, I follow your story on IG, man. I love the father you are, bro. Let me just tell you that, man. You got to pat yourself on the back. Let me clap for you.
I appreciate that, right? Man.
Because, let's be real, man. You front line with it. You not only talking the talk, you walking the walk. And I think when I see other fathers on platforms, I'm like, yo, that's really dope. And that's not easy to do. So, you know, I'm just on the West Coast, you're on the East Coast, and, you know, I'm committing my life to making sure that fathers have the resources that they need. And, you know, I can't do this by myself, but they say that we don't love our babies, right?
Which is a damn lie.
To show how much we love our babies with this book. So we're going to show out, and we're going to talk about it. And I can't wait, man. We got so much stuff in store, man. I can't wait to, you know, just have this moment with you, man, and these men be like, yo, y'all right? Y'all right? And be like, man, we got y'all.
Bro, you got my full support, man, and I'm truly, truly happy for you, bro. I'm truly happy for you that you're getting the book out, you're getting your thoughts out. But most importantly, bro, I'm really proud that you don't use any excuses. The excuses are garbage. You throw them to the side and you get your hustle on, bro. And that's very, very commendable. And that's, you know how they tell you, yo, how do you teach your kids things? Well, you lead by example. That's what you're doing. So thank you for taking time to do that with your family, but also letting us into it with your book. Because sometimes dads just need to see it done by somebody else to trigger something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And it's not easy. And it's not easy. You know, this is a world of attention, bro. It's a world of attention and clout. A lot of dad groups are out there staging TikToks, man. Staging TikTok dances with their kids. I don't got time to do a TikTok dance with my son, man. But I can help him sell the pair of sneakers. You know what I mean? There's no staging here. It's all reality. You know what I mean? Like, it's all real here. So thank you for doing that as well. What's the best way for people to, you know, get in contact with you until the book comes out, man?
Man, great question, man. So you can follow me on IG, Instagram, which is Anthony Snow Sr. What I'm going to be doing in the meantime is working on the Embrace Fatherhood Foundation website page. And once that's up, man, I'll send it to you. And, you know, folks that listen to this podcast, man, please go follow me on Infant Snow Senior on Instagram. But then, like I said, the Embrace Fatherhood Foundation, man, like, if you want to donate, if you want to just, you know, I mean, sincerely support, like, that is for us, man. So that platform is probably the best one now. And like I said, the Embrace Fatherhood Foundation page will be up soon, man. So that's how you support, man.
I love it, man. Thank you. And, yo, and major shout out to your wife, bro. For the fellas out there, yo, get yourself a shorty, a wife, a soulmate, whatever you want to call them. Get you right. One that will bend over backwards for you, because we know we will bend over backwards for them. And what your wife did contacting me, and the pressure that she put on me, yo, commendable as hell, man. Like, she put in work, and that's true love right there. So shout out to her, man, for real. And tell her thank you. Tell her thank you for me. Give her one big hug, bro.
I got you, man.
Yeah,
she's an amazing woman, man. Like I said, I wouldn't be half a man without her in my life, man. So I thank her, man, for loving my kids as well. But you're right, man.
For sure. So, you know, thank you so much once again, you know, to the community. Maybe Pops was there, maybe he wasn't. That should never stop you from doing your thing as a father. There are people out there like Anthony Snow and myself that want to see you win and will be there if you need us. Real dads find an excuse to be the best father possible, not an excuse to run away. Embrace your role as a father. Excuses should never stop you. Fatherhood is lit. Thank you, Anthony, once again.